You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from WHYY. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Christine Miles, CI Squared, Peter Snelling, Merrill Lynch, Ethan Milrod, GoToTech, Roseanne Aline, WHYY, and Greg Henry, Push 10. We have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today. Mr. Ethan Milrod, will you please give us the rundown?
Yeah, sure, Herb. First, we'd like to thank Bill Morazzo and Roseanne Olin for hosting us here at WHYY. We have a great show today, and on the show we have Alan Kasnov, partner, P&A associate, Kim Freitas Dow, CEO, Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania, Danny Govberg, President, Govberg Jewelers, and Gene Godek, CEO, G Squared.
Let's get to know our first guest, Alan Kasnov, partner of P&A Associates. Alan, what's P&A Associates?
P&A is a real estate development firm that operates solely in the city of Philadelphia.
It's a real estate development firm. And what? Give me some statistics about this firm. What makes this firm special?
We're a small firm. There were four of us, mm-hmm. my partner, our two sons, mm-hmm. and we're merchant developers, which means we build anything we can think of that'll make us money.
Uh-huh. And give us a sense of how many square feet you've built in Philadelphia.
We've built about 5 to 6 million square feet, which would include, among other buildings you may know, the St. James on Washington Square, the Murano at 21st and Market. And we've done a tremendous amount of work also down in the Philadelphia Naval Yard.
So you're doing fundamentally, it's all creative. It's no cookie cutter.
That is correct. We like to do things that are interesting and exciting. Our current project is we're partnering with the Peebles Corporation mm-hmm. to convert the family court at 1801 Vine mm-hmm. Street into a hotel.
So you mentioned that it's you and your partner, and each of you has your son involved. And, in business, there's an old story that the first generation makes it, the second one kills it. Why would you bring your sons into this business?
Because it's a fun business, and they enjoy the creativity, and they enjoy the partnership.
Uh-huh.
It's been working well.
So you're from Philadelphia originally, and I understand when you were a kid, something happened with your mom and dad. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
My father had a business difficulty, which was not of his making, but it had a profound effect on our entire family. My mother had to go back to work teaching, mm-hmm. And at the age of 13, mm-hmm. I sat in and watched and learned and saw the difficulties that can arise in a business situation.
And you got a vision coming from that difficulty in the family finances where your mother had to go back to work. And what was your vision? What arose from that?
I decided I wanted to be a lawyer at the age of 13.
So you ended up being an attorney, and I understand that you ended up becoming a partner in a major law firm here in Philadelphia in a very short period of time, and then decided to leave?
After about 10 or 12 years of doing the same kinds of things constantly, one of my partners said, "We're as good as our clients. Let's give it a try." And so I said, "Okay, we'll try it. We'll build a building and see how it works. Mm-hmm. And if it works, then we'll go into it full-time."
So you ended up you understood. Why did you decide you wanted to be an attorney at the age of 13? There was something going on there, and we understand the family difficulties, but what was it?
I saw lawyers as people who could solve problems and create solutions that would assist people, especially in business. That's where the area that I was interested in.
Uh-huh.
And I also saw my father dealing with a lawyer who uh-huh. I thought was less than the best for him.
There we go. All right. So do you like playing chess?
I play chess. I don't like playing
chess.
Why
don't you like playing chess?
Because to play chess properly, you have to understand all the prior games that were played and the moves that were made. And I like to react to the current situation, look at it, and think about a new way to do something.
So your nature in terms of this development, this real estate development you're doing, is you like taking a look at something and figuring out what you can create from it as opposed to dealing with all the past stuff.
That is correct. It's that is the fun of building a new building, mm-hmm. especially when
and
people
I, and
tell
I understand
you
also that you got very involved with some nonprofit organizations here in Philadelphia. Very involved. In fact, if I remember correctly, you were the chairman of the Jewish Federation.
I was the president of the Jewish Federation.
President. Uh huh. And you were investing a lot of time and money into that, weren't you?
Yes, yes, that was one of my
And my sense is that you're quite the mentor. Do I have that right, or am I mistaken about that?
Well, I don't. I'm not sure that I'm a mentor. What I like to do is I've been working recently.
Didn't you get a school started?
Excuse me?
You got a school started, didn't you?
No, not a school started. What I did was I adopted a school. I asked the superintendent of schools to give me one of the worst schools that he had in the city of Philadelphia.
Why'd you do that?
Because it was a challenge, and because I think each generation has an obligation to pass on.
So what happened? What happened? How long ago did that happen, and what's happened since?
It's been about 4 years now, and we have rebuilt the playground in the school. In fact, started a chess club for the kids so they could learn.
So where'd the money come from to fix this school?
It came from my current law firm, which is Zarwin Baum, from myself.
Why'd you do that?
Why would you do that?
Yeah, why'd you do that? Why don't you just keep the money? I mean, you could go to, you know, Florida and go sail your boat or whatever it is. But why would you go ahead and get involved with giving back to a school and raising money for a school and spending that time and taking on the most difficult one?
Well, there are two reasons. One, I think that, you know, I view life like a three-legged stool. And one leg is your business, one leg is your family, and the third leg is your community. And you've got to support all three, or that stool is not going to continue to stay straight.
I don't read this in the newspapers, though. I read about entrepreneurs and CEOs and, you know, they're going to jail and all this rotten stuff. You're telling me that you believe you've got to give back to the community?
Yeah, that's belief. I don't pass on the judgment of any other person and what they do. I just do what I want to do. And that is, I get more pleasure out of helping the community than I do out of anything else that I could possibly
do. I mean, when you've built this school, how many kids go to this school?
About 700.
Oh, you know the answer. Have you ever been through the halls of the school?
Not only have I been through the halls of the school, I went there and repainted the doors and of the school rooms because they were all a dirty, dusty brown, and I painted them primary colors.
Wait a minute.
Now they're red, blue, yellow.
You didn't actually pick. You're a hot dog real estate developer. You know, you were a very fancy, dancy attorney. You're telling me you picked up a paintbrush?
I did. And I loved it.
I wasn't
the best painter, by the way. There were better painters there, believe me.
So you've talked to any of the kids in the school?
I have talked to the kids.
And why are you smiling right now?
Because it's helpful. It's exciting to be able to make a small difference in someone else's life.
Did you make any connections with any of these kids?
I have tried not to be too visible to them. I didn't want to be the person walking in and have adoration or whatever you want to call it from the children. I just did it quietly.
I just wanted the public to hear that. Ethan?
Alan, legacy is important to you, isn't it? I mean, you do all these great things. You build great buildings for the city of Philadelphia. What does legacy mean to you?
Each generation passes on to the next generation, and you want to be remembered. You want to have people think of you in a positive way. And, you know, at a certain point, what are you going to do with your money? I mean, you don't need a bigger car.
Alan.
You don't need another house.
Peter.
Fixing buildings in Philadelphia or developing buildings, are usually square. Didn't you build a unconventional round building in Philly?
We did. The Murano is a semicircular building, and it's faced west because we believed that the city was moving from the east towards the west as the university areas and the downtown were connecting together. And so we wanted to face it that way.
I understand that you're a very successful real estate developer. You're very involved with giving back to the community. You've taken on the most difficult school. You don't want credit for it necessarily from the kids. And are you married?
I am married 52 years.
How many kids do you have?
I have one son.
Uh-huh. Who, at home, who wears the pants in the family?
It depends on the issue. I deal with the small issues, as they say.
So you're comfortable sharing. You're comfortable trusting people. I mean, you don't have tons of fights with your wife and stuff like that.
I do not have tons of fights with my wife. If you wanted to criticize me, I think to criticize me in my business would be that I'm probably a little too hands-on and don't know enough about letting go and just trusting others to get it done.
What's the website address for P&A Associates?
For P&A, it's it's Akasnoff at Panda at dash or hyphen ASSOC for associates.com.
Excellent. I got panda-associates.com. We've been speaking with Alan Kasnoff, partner of P&A Associates here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders.
Your name is?
Jody Gorenrode.
And what organization are you with?
Keystone Pictures.
So what does Keystone Pictures do?
Keystone Pictures is a television production company that services a wide variety of clients.
And what's unique about your organization?
We are passionate storytellers that realize our clients' visions from corporations to TV networks.
So you're telling stories about who they are in the marketplace?
Everyone has a story to tell, and we allow them to share their story in a creative, imaginative way that showcases the best points of their company and allows them to build their image in the community, whether it's a nonprofit organization, a corporate client, an ad agency. We can help anyone do that. We help create their brand.
That's wonderful. So what's your website address?
KeystonePictures.tv.
Great.
And your name is?
Peter Snelling.
And Peter, what organization are you with?
I work for Merrill Lynch, Division of Bank of America.
And your role at Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, what do you do there?
Well, our title is wealth management, but what we really do is help clients achieve and maintain their wealth so that they can draw income over their lifetimes.
So you're helping people manage their money so that it grows over the course of their lifetime as a opposed to disappears, hopefully.
That's the idea.
And you've been doing this in many instances for families where you're managing sometimes the third generation of wealth. So not only did the grandparents like you and the parents like you, but the kids like you as well.
That's true.
So you've proven that you've been able to weather different ups and downs in the financial markets and cycles. Otherwise, these families would have left you. Am I wrong about that?
Well, our job actually is not to figure out what's going to happen next, because that can't be done. Our job is to make sure that it works no matter what happens next.
Well, that's interesting. And you've been doing this for how many years now?
32.
32 years. So you've certainly proven, regardless of the economic cycles, that you're able to keep clients and keep them happy. And you've got, I guess, the wide variety of products in terms of stocks and bonds and everything else under the sun because you're Merrill Lynch. So you've got the whole variety of colors you can play with. It's just a matter of which color the client feels most appropriate.
Well, I think that's true, and most investment firms have all the tools. It's really what you do with the tools that matters, not what you have.
How can our clients, how can the listening audience get in touch with you and talk to you further?
My website is peter_snelling@ml.com.
Let me have that one more time.
peter_snelling@ml.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Kim Freitas Dow, who's the CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania. Kim, what is Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania? What do you do?
We're the largest girl-serving organization in Pennsylvania. We serve close to 40,000 girls with the help of 15,000 dedicated adult volunteers across a 9-county footprint.
Wow, 40,000 girls, 15, how many volunteers?
15,000.
15,000 volunteers. That's a large organization. Where are you from originally?
I'm an Air Force brat, so I'm from a lot of places.
Wow. And you mentioned earlier when we were talking with you, you went to 6 schools prior to graduating high school. And let's see, where's mom from? Where's dad from?
Mom is from South Korea, and dad is from Flushing, New York. He's an Irish Catholic.
So mom is from South Korea, dad's from the United States, and we were talking earlier, and what gave me a sense? It gave me a sense is that you're kind of person who really like has a precision understanding of stuff, and I'm trying to figure out where that began to show up when you were a kid. What was that all about?
So, as I said, I'm an Air Force brat, and my father is an Irish Catholic deacon and a retired Air Force officer, and he deals with a lot of precision, and he dealt with us with a lot of precision. Mm-hmm. I think a good example is on road trips, having to read maps and telling him where exits mm-hmm. were.
How about with you with musical instruments or something?
So I started playing piano when I was six, mm-hmm. learned from a grandfather figure who was a retired band director mm-hmm. who promised to teach me another instrument, mm-hmm. And so I chose clarinet.
Uh-huh. Clarinet. Why clarinet?
It appealed to me. He had instruments all over his home, and mm-hmm. he told me I could
pick one. Got you. What kind of sports did you play?
I played soccer, baseball, softball. Mm-hmm.
Did you do those sports because it gave you a chance to connect into the different communities that you moved into?
Yes, it was a lot of fun and competitive and a mm-hmm. and great way to meet friends.
What was your? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
One older brother uh-huh. and one baby brother.
One baby brother. And how did you feel about your baby brother?
Dream come true somehow. Wasn't expecting him, but when he arrived, it was great.
Wait a minute. I think a lot of times the older sister doesn't want the next sibling because it's competitive, but you were looking forward to having a baby brother?
Not at first. Uh-huh. Like I said, it was a surprise, yeah. 12 years younger. Yeah. But when he showed up, yeah. I realized it was a calling, I guess.
What do you mean it was a calling? What are you talking about?
I loved spending every moment with him, didn't mind putting him to sleep at night. You know, every moment I could spend with him.
You
I
were
did.
Like a second mother.
I was.
So you enjoy mothering.
I love mothering.
What do you mean you love mothering?
I have a fantastic mother who taught me the joys of mothering, I guess. I didn't realize it at the time, but connecting with children is a wonderful thing.
You think that has anything to do with the fact that you're the CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania, this fact that connecting with young people is a great thing?
I think it does. When I started at Girl Scouts, it was a surprise move from cultural arts, where I'd spent the better part of 13 years, and then starting there and spending time.
So you're like
with girls.
The mother of mothers, aren't you? I mean, like you're really into doing this gig. What do you enjoy most about this gig?
I enjoy mentoring staff, and I enjoy spending time with the girls and being inspired by the volunteers.
Who's got the next question here?
So, Kim, you grew up in a multicultural, multinational family where arts and science seemed to be inclusive. Do you think that had any influence on leading this group of young leaders, the Girl Scouts of America?
I think that growing up, I had to discover a strong sense of self because we moved around a lot, and my parents really valued our individuality. So I think that that really informed kind of how I approach a lot of things.
Wait. This sense of what are you talking about, this sense of individuality? What are you talking about?
So we grew up, my brother and I were a year and 10 days apart, and we were kind of the left brain, right brain crew. My parents were very supportive of embracing the unique qualities in each of us.
What's that have to do with being the head of the Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania?
In Girl Scouts, we believe that if you discover a strong sense of self, you develop confidence. And if you learn how to connect with other people, you appreciate the value of diversity. And
where'd you get that from? Was that out of the handbook or something that happened to you as a kid?
It happened to me as a kid, but not through Girl Scouts. But at Girl Scouts, that is what we believe, that you become a leader through those things and by taking action.
So you're telling me your personal beliefs align with the mission of the organization?
Absolutely.
Does it feel like work to you?
It does not.
Why not? Why are you smiling now? What do you mean it doesn't feel like work?
I've never worked a day in my life. I love everything about my life. Everything that I see as a challenge is an opportunity and a possibility, and just a uh-huh. blessing to
Peter?
Wow, where did that come from? That's an awesome attitude. You use the word believe, and I think that your life now is a calling. Would I be correct in saying that?
I think so, and I think every day it unfolds. My youngest child is on the autism spectrum, and I think that, you know, as you experience more and more things, you see what your calling is. So introducing people to disabilities and giving them a comfort level with dealing with disabilities, and also providing that opportunity to the kids with disabilities, I think is the next step.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
I think that a lot of times in our society, in different places, we shelter people from differences. And I think at Girl Scouts, we've always been about inclusion and diversity. So I think that there's the next step for what we're doing at Eastern Pennsylvania is to introduce people to all of our differences and to create an environment where we're comfortable with it.
Christine?
Kim, you talked about your mother in the green room and the word that you said, that she was unselfish. So how does that play out in the organization of Girl Scouts?
So, yes, my mom, my role model, and I think that at Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania, we have developed a culture of service, learning, and growth. Service to yourself and service to others, always being in a state of learning, and, you know, if something becomes challenging, stepping in to grow.
I'm imagining 15,000 volunteers, a lot of unselfishness there as well. How do you attract the volunteers?
So a lot of our volunteers have been a part of Girl Scouting since they were kids, and then other folks, you know, we're attracting millennials and recently retired women who are participating in Girl Scouts who want to give back or who want to take part in what we're doing. The millennial generation is one of the most philanthropic in their time and in their limited resources, so they want to give back.
You also described yourself as fun. Do you have fun at work with the Girl Scouts? And
I have a lot of fun. I'm constantly censoring myself, to be honest, because I have to be serious at times. But we have a lot of fun at Girl Scouts.
What kind of fun do you have at Girl Scouts? What do you mean?
We have a lot of fun with the girls. Obviously, it's always making sure that the girls are leading what we're doing. But in the workplace, it's a very jovial environment if I'm around.
Yeah, Roseanne.
Kim, you grew up with brothers. How different is it working with girls today than growing up with boys?
Working with girls today, girls are not seeing limitations. So girls are really seeing opportunities to lead. I think growing up with boys, you know, it was always a competitive but equal environment. So I guess it's just a natural
extension. What do you mean girls aren't seeing, they're not seeing limitations? What do you mean by that?
I think as every generation moves into, you know, more and more opportunities for equality, girls today are not seeing limitations when it comes to what they're able to do.
Is your mom aware of what you're doing nowadays?
Absolutely. I talk to my mom every day.
Has your mom been to your office?
My mom lives in Florida, unfortunately.
So you talk to your mom every day. Is she surprised what you're doing?
No.
Does she give you advice?
No.
Do you ask for her advice?
Yes.
Really? So, but you're really enjoying your job.
I love my job. I think my mom just provides me support, and what she does do if she sees me I'm not taking care of myself is she reminds me to do that.
Wow, so you're the mom of moms, but your mom is your mom.
My mom and my dad are the best parents in the world, and I try to make sure that my kids spend as much time with them as possible. And I can only dream of being close to as good a parent as they were.
Wow. Wow. What's the website address of this organization known as Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania?
GSEP.org.
GSEP.org. We've been speaking with Kim Freitas-Dowell, CEO of Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host Christine Miles, CI Squared, Peter Snelling, Merle Lynch, Ethan Milrod, GoTo Tech, Roseanne Aline, WHYY, and Greg Henry, Push 10. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Want help starting, growing, fixing, or exiting your business with the help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you start, grow, fix, or exit your business because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you now. Email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you start, grow, fix, or exit your business because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. Get help from CEOs who have walked in your shoes and succeeded. Get help from CEOs who appreciate and understand what you're going through. Email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. And your name is?
Ethan Milrod.
And the name of the organization?
Go To.
Go To. Why is the name of the organization Go To, and what do you do for your clients?
Well, we act as a single technology source for our clients, kind of like the go-to guys and girls.
And what kind of technologies do you help your clients with?
We provide our clients with the full range of technology solutions, anything that is voice, data, or video related.
Why would they need one source in order to do this stuff?
Well, we found that over time, clients have lots of so-called go-to vendors, but they're truly not go-to vendors. They're biased, they're subjective, and oftentimes business owners are pulling their hair out trying to bring technology together. They really need a company to bring it all together for them.
So because there's so many different competing kinds of technologies and conflicting technologies, and if you do this, you can't do that, you're telling me you'd like to come in as an unbiased source and try to give them a hand with that stuff?
Well, we want to let business owners focus on their business and what's important to them and not have to worry about the technology. We'll bring that all together.
Are there times that you come in as a consultant, as a second opinion, rather than the guy that's actually selling them the stuff or integrating the stuff?
Always, always. We have to understand their business so we can apply technology, not just throw technology up against the wall to see what sticks.
Well, wait a minute. Isn't your job to make the most money where you want to sell them whatever you can make the most money on?
We're never thinking about what we're going to make the most money on. We're thinking about what's the best fit for the client. The money comes later on.
So you're concerned about the relationship with the client.
Exactly.
So I guess the other problem is, like, there's so many emerging technologies. You got to be on top of all these tech. Do you have any partners in the business?
I have two business partners.
Yeah, figures it, because this is not something you could be able to do yourself. There's so many changing technologies. What's the website address of this organization?
It's GoToTech. That's GoTech.com.
Let me have that one more time.
GoToTech.com.
Excellent. And your name is?
Ethan Milrod.
And this has been your Business Spotlight. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. We'd like to introduce Danny Govberg, president of Govberg Jewelers. Danny, what is Govberg Jewelers? What are you guys doing?
Govberg Jewelers specializes in the buying, selling, and trading of luxury timepieces.
Uh-huh. How large is the organization? What kind of revenue are you doing?
We have about 110 people. Mm-hmm. We do approximately $120 million.
Uh-huh. This is a nice-sized company. And watches, huh? Where are you from originally?
From Ballykinwood, Pennsylvania.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have one brother, Jeffrey. He's 14 months younger than me.
What would Jeffrey tell us about you guys, about his older brother when you guys were kids?
That we used to do everything together.
Really? And how young were you when you started making money?
I started in fifth grade when I introduced all the guys that started to like girls to giving necklaces to the girls that they liked.
So where'd the necklaces come from?
The necklaces came from my dad.
So your dad got you necklaces and you figured out how to sell these necklaces to your friends who wanted to be popular with the girls.
Correct. I sold them for $1 and they cost 50 cents.
All right. And then what was the next step in your entrepreneurial career?
Next step was I became a Fuller Brush man.
Tell us what happened there.
I started to sell Fuller Brushes and supplies to all my parents' friends, and then a couple of my friends decided that they wanted to sell Fuller Brushes to their friends, so I became like a little sub-distributor until the whole basement was full of Fuller Brushes and supplies, and my mom put an end to it.
Uh-huh. And how'd you get into the watch business? How'd that develop?
I got into the watch business when I came into the jewelry business with my dad and my grandfather and my brother. They were all basically selling diamonds, so I wanted something to call my own, so I decided to specialize in watches.
Didn't they advise you that there wasn't any money in watches?
Yeah, my dad told me that I was wasting my time. Mm-hmm. There was no real money in watches, so he said, go and do what you want to do.
Uh-huh.
So I did.
And how old are you nowadays?
56.
Uh-huh. What have you learned about business now that you may not have fully appreciated back then? Or what did you appreciate back then about business?
I learned basically that nothing happens overnight, and you have to put the time in to become pretty much the best at what you at your field.
So, but it doesn't sound to me like you're the kind of guy that goes ahead and slaughters everybody. You're the kind of guy that tries to build the team. Is that what takes time?
Yeah, I think that I always believe that one person can do the work of two, but that two people can do the work of four, and four people can do the work of 10. So as you build your teams, you grow exponentially.
Interesting.
So at a very young age, you realize the power of sort of leveraging people to build something bigger than yourself, which is rare. It's more typical that a single guy will have a paper route. Was that a conscious decision you made, or did you sort of stumble into that?
I sort of stumbled into it because it was more about working with my friends. So if I got my friends involved, then we would all have fun, playing around together.
Mm-hmm. Peter?
Danny, apparently you've shared your success with your teammates. How important is team, your team members? How important is team to you?
Team to me is very important. I work with my boys also, my younger son, my two sons, or my older sons. Mm. But teamwork's very important to me, and the kids that I work with, I spend a lot of energy on growing them.
Mm-hmm. What's that have to say about the business success you're having? Surprised?
I think he's proud. We don't really talk about it too much, but I think he's proud of what we've built.
Why do you think he's proud?
He doesn't really say. My dad was never one that wanted much. He was very happy with what he was doing. So I think just watching what me and my brother and others have accomplished over the years, I think he's proud about it.
Roseanne?
Danny, you made a lot of money very young. So today, what do you measure your success by? Is it by money? Is it?
Today, I look at it like I measure my success for the jewelry business that we've built will be the story that my kids tell, and then the story that the community will tell will be the next chapter. So I haven't really begun. I've started to lay the groundwork for the story that people will tell, and I'm finishing up the story that my children will tell.
So what do you envision that story? What will that story be?
We have a coding academy for it's called BSD, which is Build Something Different. It's coding, design, and robotics, and we're going to give that to basically, if I can, to all kids in the inner city schools all over the country.
Wait a minute. You're going to do what? Give me that again.
I have an academy. I feel that kids in schools today.
This is a nonprofit organization you've started.
Right now it's an incubator that's ready to explode. But what it is it's a coding academy, because I feel that the schools don't do a job of teaching kids what they need to learn in the future. And through coding, design, and robotics, I believe the kids can graduate right from high school and earn good jobs, especially if I can get the inner city kids to learn coding, design, and robotics.
And you want that to be your legacy?
That will be my legacy.
I thought making a lot of money was going to be your legacy.
That's the story for my kids.
Danny, where did that spirit of giving come from? Who in your family?
I think it's more my story.
Mm-hmm. It's your own design. Uh-huh. What'd you get from mom that you bring to work every day? What influence did your mom have on you?
That blood's blood. Always make sure I take care of my brother.
Is that one of the reasons maybe you started involving your friends in business early on, because you had a close relationship with your brother and you felt you have close relationships with other people?
No, I think I got involved with my friends early on because they were my best friends, and most of them are still my best friends.
So you have long-term relationships. I mean, I read in the newspapers that, businesses sue everybody and that kind of stuff. But you really enjoyed long-term relationships? Now you're 56 and you've had friends for many, many years?
I believe it's my family, my best friends, and business, and then the next chapter. And then I'll accomplish what I want to accomplish.
Huh. And this code, Peter?
Danny, the idea of exponentiating, of making things grow in multiples, is that related to what you're doing with the academy? Do you see that having an exponential effect?
Yeah, I believe that the academy, once people realize how powerful it is and how it can change kids' lives, will take on a life of its own.
It's way more than one person at a time. Way more.
My goal is to change the way people are educated in the whole country.
Small goal.
Through the coding, design, and robotics.
Because you think that there's a demand there that you can teach kids that how to do this that are not necessarily making money right now.
I believe that the school districts in general are failing what the future of what kids need to learn. It's not even being offered. Coding, design, and robotics are not even being offered to kids that are 6 years old and up, for the most part, in school districts.
So as opposed to complaining about it, you're just investing your own time and money in making this thing happen.
Yeah, we're investing our time and money in it. At the same time, it'll end up being profitable on the side that schools will adopt the program, but then it'll be given away to all the schools that sort of can't afford to embrace.
Well, if you need connections with the business community to help get the jobs, nobody knows as many CEOs as we do. We'll help make those doors open. Christine?
Yeah, when did you realize that something was broken in the schools? Was that early in your life or later in your life?
I have two families. I have a second wife. So I have a 29, 28, 19, and an 8 and a 5-year-old. So I've been and I'm busy. So, but I've been able to see the difference that my daughter, who's 19, how little coding, design, and robotics has been available, even in a good school district. And I see what's available for my kids now that are 8 and 5. And it just seems to me that somewhere along the lines, education is failing the kids in what they're going to need to know next.
Mm-hmm. So you're looking into the future. Danny, what's the website address for Govberg Jewelers?
GovbergWatches.com.
GovbergWatches.com. We've been speaking with Danny Govberg, president of Govberg Jewelers, here at Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. And Danny, one last time, your website address is
GovbergWatches.com.
We'll be back in a moment right after this break. And your name is?
Richard Penn.
And the name of the organization, Richard?
Global Fit.
And what does Global Fit do?
We provide corporate and health plan wellness programs that concentrate in physical activity, and we also provide a reimbursement program that supports all wellness programs.
Whose idea was this?
It was started about 25 years ago by a couple of folks here in Philadelphia and New York to build a network of gyms.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And your role in the company is?
I'm the CEO and president.
What do you like about your job?
Well, I like the whole aspect of wellness, and that we're helping communities improve, that we're keeping the healthy, and that's the key point.
What's the website address for your organization?
GlobalFit.com.
GlobalFit.com. And your name again is?
Richard Penn.
And your title in the organization?
President.
All right. This has been your Business Spotlight. And your name is?
Ken Beasley.
And Ken, what organization are you with?
I work with Push 10.
And what is Push 10?
Push 10 is a brand-minded, design-forward digital marketing agency.
Tell me a little bit more about what you do and who your clients are.
Absolutely. We work with clients that range from higher education to high finance, specialty food and beverage, and nonprofits. And we do brand strategy, website design, and all the digital marketing tactics that go along. So email campaigns,
so you're,
SEO.
Give me those kind of clients again, and give me an example of what you're doing for these clients.
Well, we just recently launched the third website for the Wharton School.
Mm-hmm.
We've done three with them. We've also done web design for Lehigh University.
Mm-hmm.
For nonprofits, we just recently launched a rebrand and a website for the John Templeton Foundation, which is a global nonprofit.
So you're all about helping organizations craft their message, craft the story, and help get the word out. And
exactly.
You're doing it through websites?
Well, through brand strategy primarily, and that leads to the digital tactics, which includes websites. A lot of people think about websites first, but branding has to come first.
How long have you guys been doing this?
About 8 years.
What's the best part of your job?
Learning about all the interesting new businesses and companies out there, really learning what makes them tick what their pain points are, and how do we help them reach their goals.
So you're sitting with these potential clients trying to really figure out the strategy, and you know all the different tools you use. I guess you got to really listen to them in order to figure that stuff out.
Listening's the number one tool.
What's the website address for your organization?
Push10.com.
Let me have that one more time.
Push10.com.
And your name is?
Ken Beasley.
And this is Herb Cohen, and this has been your Business Spotlight. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, and we'd like to introduce Gene Godick, CEO of G-Squared Partners. Gene, what is G-Squared Partners? What are you guys doing?
Well, we provide financial outsourcing to emerging growth and venture-backed companies in the D.C. to New York corridor.
Uh-huh. I understand that you were a CFO of a public company. Do you think that gave you any perspective in regards to what you're doing with these startup businesses?
It provided a lot of perspective. I mean, I joined the company about 100 employees. 18 months later, we were about 1,700. Mm-hmm. During that time, we raised hundreds of millions of dollars and bought over 20 companies. So it was a lifetime's experience in a very short period of time.
So as opposed to you going to accounting school and getting an accounting degree and then trying to pass yourself off as an advisor, you really have walked in the shoes that these emerging companies want to go to.
I've actually done both. I grew up in public accounting and worked for two of the biggest firms in the United States, but I worked almost exclusively with venture-backed companies.
Mm-hmm.
It gave me a love for that. And then I spent some time also on industry.
Gotcha.
And have done both as well as running a company. So
gotcha.
I've done a lot
mm-hmm.
in a short period of time.
You mentioned that you were eight or nine years old and something happened in the family unit. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my parents separated and ultimately divorced when we were younger. So that kind of forced us to grow up probably a little earlier than we would have liked.
You have a younger brother?
I have a brother that's 2.5 years younger than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have a half brother that's 19 mm-hmm. years
so,
younger than
so
I am.
So when mom and dad had their issues, what role did you take with your brother?
I won't say I raised my brother, but mm-hmm. I will say that he and I kind of coexisted and, mm-hmm. at times got along, but also at times fought like cats and dogs. But mm-hmm. one of the things that we were lucky is my brother liked to cook and was a mm-hmm. good cook and
mm-hmm.
I'm a neat freak, so
mm-hmm.
I would clean up.
Mm-hmm.
And so
you got along well.
We were pretty mm-hmm. synergistic.
So you mentioned earlier that sometimes you were the shoulders for your mom to talk to because you were the confidant. It sounded like you play that role in this business nowadays.
We do. I mean, one of the things I'm really proud of is that we try to be one of the first two or three people our clients call when something goes really right or really wrong. a lot of times we're getting called by the CEOs prior to them advising their boards, and we're usually helping them deal with the strategy and developing the messaging and everything they need to do before they go and talk to their boards.
Well, you certainly have walked in their shoes, so you're certainly capable as an advisor. Who's got the next question here?
Gene, in the green room, you mentioned that a number of your companies try to hire you after you work with them, but you don't take those opportunities. You like working with the coming companies. Why is that?
I mean, we get to see a lot. I mean, we're working with over 30 companies. We're seeing we have companies that are growing at over 100%. We have companies that are struggling. It gives us an opportunity to see a myriad of experiences. I mean, I've been working for 30 plus years, and I learn three things at least every day that's new, which makes it fascinating. I mean, too, it's good to be needed. It's good to be wanted. On my way in today, we had three different calls with different companies issues.
You said it's good to be needed. It's good to be wanted. You also mentioned that you were like the shoulder that your mom could cry on. I wonder what the connection is. It sounds to me like as a kid, you were like the confidant, which is what you are nowadays.
I mean, that's right. I mean, we'll have clients that are we don't think are doing the right thing, and we're not afraid to tell them. Same time.
So you're comfortable being critical with your clients. I mean, it's one of the aren't you liable to lose a client that way though?
I think that's part of the risk. If you want to do your job well, I think you need to be able to speak your mind and tell them what you really think. I mean, I think brutal honesty, no matter what you're doing, is important.
Just wanted to make sure I understood, Greg.
You just mentioned the word risk. Obviously, there's an inherent risk when working with startups. When do you remember becoming a risk taker?
I've always been a risk taker. I always did things that were less than conventional. I mean, when I started my career, everyone wanted to go work and audit the big companies. I wanted to go work in the startups. There was a lot fewer people in our group. Our group was considered, the cowboys of the organization, but it was a lot of fun and we learned a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Roseanne?
Gene, I'm just curious about the name, G-Square. Where did that come from?
So G-Square actually came from one of my clients. So when I was about 24 years old, one of the CFOs of my clients used to call me G-Square. And I said, one day I'm going to run a business and it's going to be called G-Square.
Why would he call you G-Squared?
What did you say?
Why G-Squared? Why did he call you
G-Squared? Gene Godek, double G.
All right, I'm not too smart. Okay. Who's got the next question?
Gene, you mentioned that you like to be needed. And why does that light you up? Why does that make your day?
It's fun to make a difference. And, I mean, we've had companies that are, we got them, we're about $1 million of revenue. We have three companies this year. They're going to grow to over $20 million in revenues this year. And I'd like to think that we had a part of that. And I think out of our client portfolio, there's going to be some great successes, and it'll be nice to say we were there when they were small and we made a difference.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question?
Also in the green room, you shared that some things haven't always worked out perfectly. And how do you share those experiences with your clients?
I mean, we have a client now that's going through a tough situation, and we're both working with both the company and the board trying to figure out what is the right process. And I was chatting with one of the board members yesterday who knows of another company, and I said to him, it feels like that other company. And I said, I think we just need to make sure we do the right things now so we don't look back in 90 days and said, we wish we had taken more action or a stronger reaction than the problems we're doing them and just letting it go.
Mm-hmm. Ethan, you're being quite quiet today.
Yeah, what kind of questions? Earlier, Gene, you used the term consigliere for that of your clients. Tell us what you mean by that.
So, I mean, a consigliere is someone who's like one of their closest advisors. At times where the clients have cried on our shoulders. But, we'll give hopefully, advice that's clear, and we don't have a point of view other than hoping the company does the right thing.
What kind of difference do you think that makes for your clients?
I think people appreciate the honesty. I mean, I started this business about a little over 4 years ago. We still have our first client. We still have our first employee. So, I think we're creating an environment where our people want to work, and we're creating an environment where our clients work with our people. It's kind of funny. I was spent 48 hours with one of my clients this week. We were in the process of negotiating a pretty big supply contract, and you know, the client likes to make fun of me a little bit because, like, oh, you're just a bunch of boring accountants. But at the same time, he's like, I love your firm's culture, and I want to try to emulate it.
Gene, what did you learn? What have you learned from your mom that you bring to work every day?
I mean, I think trying to do the right thing, try to be nice to people. At the same time, if people need a kick, you'll give it to them. But I think you try to be nice and do the right thing.
How about your dad? What did you get from dad that you bring to work every day?
Work ethic. My dad is a hardworking guy. Mm-hmm. Still is, and I don't know if I work as hard as him, but I think I work as smart as him, but I'm a little more.
What's your dad do for a living?
My dad is an entrepreneur as well, and he has a business where he's doing kind of like technology transfer business, tough business.
Sounds bad. And your brother, you have a younger brother. What's he up to now?
So my brother that's 30 months younger is an environmental engineer.
He's not in the business
partner in a consulting firm.
Uh-huh. Christine?
Yeah, I just wanted to know a little bit more about Dad. So when he and your mom divorced, what did you do for him in that? What was your role in relation to him, since it was advisor to mom?
I don't think my father was looking for advice from a 10-year-old.
No, but your mom, it sounds to me like you have a pretty close relationship with your mom. I bet it's probably a pretty close relationship with the people you work with.
I think we're very close with the people we work with. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have an open office environment. It's pretty casual. I mean, I have a Villanova basketball hoop sitting on hanging off my cubicle.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, in the summer, people come in shorts. There's no dress code. Our motto is you can wear anything you want as long as it would not embarrass your mother.
There we go.
Gene, lots of independence in your young life. And it sounds like you're creating independence for your clients as well as for your staff. Is that fair to say?
I don't know if we're creating independence for our clients. I mean, our goal is to, we want to be somewhat dependent on us because that's the beauty of the model. But our goal is to help our clients grow every day and teach our clients that want to be taught.
Greg, do you have a question?
Yeah. You had mentioned that you think you got your work ethic, or at least part of it, from your father. Do you think that happened at a early age, or was that later in life that sort of rubbed off on you?
Probably as I got into high school.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't the best student up until high school, and certainly didn't become a really good student until college. But
excellent. All right.
I always learned to work hard.
And your website address is?
gsquaredcfo.com.
Let me have that one more time.
gsquaredcfo.com.
I'd like to thank my co-hosts today, Christine Miles, CI Squared, Peter Snelling, Mara Lynch, Ethan Milrod, GoToTech, Roseanne Aline, WHYY, and Greg Henry, Push 10 for giving me hand structuring the questions. They'll be providing a listening audience and educational and entertaining show. Ethan, will you please give us a rundown on who we've had the chance to talk to today?
Sure, Herb. And again, I want to thank everybody at WHYY for hosting us here today. We had great guests. We had Alan Kasnoff, partner of P&A Associates, Kim Freitas Dow, CEO, Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania, Danny Govberg, President, Govberg Jewelers, and Gene Godick, CEO, G Squared.
Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We thank you for joining us today. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. And have a nice day. Bye-bye.